What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode number one of Street Level Floppies. Yes, it is our first episode, our inaugural episode, our first podcast. My name is Andrew. I am your host. I go by the name Real Comics on Twitter, and I'm really excited to talk comics with all of you. Let me throw you to some of my team members here on the podcast. To the right of me, I have Fred.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
To the left, I have Chris.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the first episode.
Excellent. And we are here to talk some comics tonight. As you guys might know, we like to talk creator-owned. We like to talk independent comics. We like to talk small publishers and imprints. We also are proud members of the Nation of Nerds. Our goal is to entertain, educate, and introduce you to some new books that you may have not heard of or you've been interested to try. So we're going to talk comics today and hopefully get you into some new titles. So guys, how does it feel? We're on a podcast finally.
Nerve-wracking. Very nerve-wracking.
Nerve-wracking. What about you, Chris?
Man, I'm just excited. We've been working on this for a while. We've kept things quiet longer than what I thought I could keep it quiet for. So I'm excited to get the episode out and have fun.
It was hard being quiet, huh? Everybody's like, where have you been? You're not on Twitter. I don't see you. Yeah, I'm writing and podcasting for fake. Cool. Well, this is our show, and we start our show off usually with the news. And today we have a couple of news stories we'd like to touch on. The first being Uncanny X-Men. Uncanny X-Men is the title that Marvel announced last week. I believe it was Thursday or Friday, and it's going to change the X-Men universe. And I know Chris, as a big X-Men fan, you probably have a lot to talk about on this one.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited for Uncanny X-Men. It didn't play out how I thought it was going to play out. I didn't think it was going to be an event, because I thought, you know, we're going to have Extermination, and then Uncanny's going to come afterwards as like a solo, as like a book or whatever. But it's an event, and I'm all for that. I think that's very creative. I'm excited.
Excellent. Fred, what about you?
I'm excited. I'm excited for, you know, Kelly Thompson, Matthew Rosenberg writing. That's going to be very interesting. I'm excited just to see, like, where these teams are going, is if they're going to be split into different squads, kind of like the No Justice thing, you know, during this 12-issue run. Or, you know, just see what happens, I guess.
That's a good blueprint if they go the No Justice route with the four teams, or three teams, because we have three writers. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, you have Matthew Rosenberg, Kelly Thompson, and Ed Breezin, who's writing the Extinction. Kind of like a prelude to it, but not exactly. So, yeah, I think that it's going to change the X-Men universe for the good, kind of give us something new and different.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think of it in terms of No Justice, but that's a good comparison, because it sounds like that's kind of the route they're going with it. If they split up and have different teams after this, I'm down for that. It's interesting because we're getting a lot of X-Men. There's Extermination, X-Men Black, and Uncanny all happening within the next few months, and I wonder how they're gonna play into each other.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's happening with Red? That's the big question on everyone's mind, because Tom Taylor is not part of this, and he even keeps making jokes that you better not do anything to Gabby. He's been saying that to Breezin and to Rosenberg on Twitter. So is Red coming to an end? That's something we're not going to be happy about, I'm sure.
No, Red is my favorite X-Men book right now. Gabby is a top five favorite character of mine. They better not touch her.
Yeah, definitely. Well, okay, another news story that we just got today before we got on Twitter, probably this afternoon, is Watchmen has officially been picked up as a series on HBO. The series is based on the DC graphic novel from Alan Moore, artist David Gibbons, and colorist John Higgins. It's not going to exactly follow the Watchmen comic. It's going to be something new and original, but it is the Watchmen world. Fred, what do you think of this?
Well, to be honest, I've never read Watchmen until Doomsday Clock, so, you know, I've read the first four issues, so this is going to be interesting to me, that's for sure.
And Chris?
I'm excited. I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the comic book. It sounds like they're not doing a page-for-page adaptation like the movie was. So I'm excited to see a new take on these heroes and see what it brings. HBO has been pushing out some pretty great shows. They have a great track record. So I expect nothing less from this show.
Sounds good. Yeah, my understanding is it's set in the world of Watchmen, but it's some new original stories. So we might get some completely new characters that aren't anybody we know yet. Some new villains, some new heroes. So that'll be a lot of fun. If done right, it should be a lot of fun. Yeah. So, well, that's the news. It was kind of light this week. No real hard-hitting breaking stories, I guess. So we're going to go ahead and jump into our comics. As I mentioned before, we do creator-owned comics. We do independent label comics, small publishers, do-it-yourself comics. Basically, things that aren't being done by the big two. We love the big two, but sometimes you got to try something different, get away from the capes, a little cape fatigue, and try some different books. So these are the five books that we chose to highlight this week that you might be interested in picking up and getting to know. The first one is called Weatherman. It's Weatherman number 3, to be exact. I'm going to go ahead and read you the solicit for it. Cut off on the run and hunted by Marshall, Nathan and Cross try to stay alive long enough to find Nathan's lost memory and the key to stopping another world-ending attack. But they'll have to survive each other first. This book is written by Jody Lihoop. The artist is Nathan Fox, colorist Dave Stewart, letters by Steve Wands, published by Image. This is Weatherman. Fred, what did you think of Weatherman?
Well, Weatherman continues to throw curveballs at us because in this issue, opposed to the past issues, you think that you figured it out and something new happens. With this book, we start off in the beginning with a new character that's, you know, getting tortured and beaten, it seems to be, because he's all battered and bloodied everywhere. It takes us, you know, to meet... ends up showing up to a main character that's a tycoon and ultimately starts a pay-per-view where this guy gets killed by his father-in-law, which is interesting. And then the story then jumps to the characters that we all know, Nathan and Amanda, and they deal with some issues on Mars. What are you guys thinking from this?
First, let me say this book has some great art, some great letters. Just the comic book as a whole comes together so nicely. It looks good. Your eye is drawn to it. So it's a well put together book. It had some great moments throughout the book, like the one Fred mentioned with the dudes, getting beat and it's being showed on pay-per-view or whatever. That reminded me of like some Mojoverse from X-Men or something like that. Yeah, but if you're not reading Weatherman, I really highly suggest it. The first two issues are great and it just continues the trend. It has some great themes of morality and responsibility and things like that that get you thinking. And yeah, I really enjoy reading it, and it's really fleshing out, and I look forward to seeing what's coming next.
Excellent. Yeah, I echo a lot of those thoughts. I'll give people a little background on it. Everybody lives on Mars because Earth no longer exists. It was destroyed by a major event, and that event is kind of what is propelling the story along in Weatherman. We have our main character who is accused of having possibly been involved with causing the destruction of Earth, but we're not 100% sure. It's a mystery in a sense, and it just creates all kinds of crazy hijinks because it's very comedic. And like Chris said the art is just outstanding. There's a lot of funny gags in the background at times, the facial expressions, the situations that the main character gets in are pretty crazy. My one complaint is if you're a dog lover, it may be hard to get through episode 1 and 2. But yeah, so warning, definitely a warning on that. Fred?
Yeah, like this book right here, opposed to the other two, the humor's kind of dialed back in this book. The first two was definitely a lot more funnier. The humor in this book is a little more dark than the others. And, like, I just want to say that Jody, is it LeHoop?
Yep.
And Nathan Fox, like, you can tell that they're having a lot of fun with this book because it shows in their work. It shows, like, they make a good team, especially with the action and the panels. It's very, how would you say, maybe visually delightful at times. Like, I definitely would like to say that. Chris, you got something?
Yeah, just going back to that, the way the book looks, like I said, it comes together so well. This is such a well-put-together comic book. From the dialogue to the art to the lettering, everything comes together. The transition, it transitions smoothly. It doesn't just jump around. This is a very well-told story, and I'm glad that it's being told in the form of a comic book. It had some good moments this issue. You know, I feel like each issue has had their kind of defining moments of the book, like certain things happen, you're just like, wow, I can't believe what I'm reading. And this one, there's like a car chase, and I won't get too into it, but in that car chase, it's really fun to read. Yeah. So look into it, man. If you're not reading it, read Weatherman.
Yeah, it's only 3 in. It shouldn't be too hard to pick up. Question, Fred, you might know this. Did Nathan Fox and Jody LeHoop work together on the Bear book? What's the Bear book? Bear Shirt?
Yes, a shirtless bear fighter, yes.
Yeah, so they were a team on that as well?
Well, I'm not quite sure as like the artist, but I'm pretty sure Jody LeHoop is. I think yeah.
Interesting.
I'm gonna put it down as yes. Okay. If I'm wrong.
Someone will correct us later in our comment section, I'm sure.
Call me out. Yes.
But yeah, okay. If you guys were gonna score this book, what kind of scores would you give it? Fred, I'll let you go first since you introduced the book.
I'll say Weatherman 3. Right here, I would definitely say 4.25.
Nice, solid score. And Chris?
I'm giving it a 4.5. It was a great read.
Excellent, excellent. I'd give it about a 4.3. That's what I'll go with, 4.3. I'm not good at scoring, so I'm trying to – it wasn't perfect, but I enjoyed it. It wasn't my favorite book, but it's definitely the most hyped book. I've seen that book all over Twitter. Everybody's talked about it. So
definitely, you need to go out and get this book because in this issue 3, it definitely shows Weatherman 3 shows that it's more than a funny sci-fi with this issue. So I would definitely grab it.
And those covers pop. I was going to say, like, the covers are all good. So just based off the covers, I think they're going to get some buzz online.
Yeah, that's true. When people post the cover, it looks good. They're so colorful. They're well done. Yeah, there's everything about this book. This book is a winner, guys. Definitely look into it. All right, let's move on to book number 2 of the day. This one is called Volition. It's a number 1, so it's the start of a new series. The solicit reads as, in a not-too-distant future, artificial intelligence has spawned a race of robots that serve all humanity. Robots are considered second-class citizens, but a few in the AI community are fighting back in a constant struggle for equal rights. When a debilitating virus called Rust threatens all artificial life, salvation lies in the most unlikely of robotic heroes. Not a warrior or a soldier, but in an obsolete construction worker and a dedicated caregiver. Together, Hale 19 and Amber 7T embark on a perilous journey in search of a cure that could potentially change the balance of power on Earth forever. Written by Ryan Parrott, arts, colors, and cover by Omar Francia, letters by Zach Sam, variant cover by Chris Evenhus, published by Aftershock, This is Volition. So I'm going to go ahead and start off Volition. This book tries to do a lot. It is a deep book. It's definitely a sci-fi book, but it has some undertones of a lot of social issues. It reminds me of The Matrix in some ways because it has that feel also, which you would get from Terminator, of the AI trying to become more human-like in fighting for their rights. I made a joke. It also reminded me of that animated movie with Will Smith called Robots because the older robots are becoming obsolete and they need to find parts and software and different things in order to stay alive and relevant. And they turn to the black market to get that, which is what kind of creates the rust. It's a nice looking book, but it wasn't really my cup of tea. I gave it a shot. I read it twice. My fellow teammates here don't necessarily agree with me, but I don't know. It just didn't quite hit for me. Chris, what'd you think?
So when I first read it, in the beginning, it caught me. It reminded me of, like you said, like Blade Runner, Terminator, those type of things with artificial intelligence, especially Blade Runner for me. And I really liked how it started out. I thought it started out strong. But as you said, as it went on, it kind of talked about too many different things, in my opinion. It started talking about freedom and that there was like the American flag in certain panels, and it was kind of all over the place. It jumped from the beginning. The first few pages were just exposition and a bunch of dialogue, which in my opinion, I don't like much exposition in my comic books, even though it's an issue one. So I kind of give it a pass, but I prefer the world building be shown through the art and through natural kind of pacing, because we never even find out really, I don't think, who the narrator is during the exposition parts. And then it jumps from that to its middle scene with the heist, and then it jumps from that to like a hospital scene. It just kind of jumps and it doesn't connect itself. And, you know, like I said, it's a first issue. So I give it a pass for that. And it's got a really nice premise. So, you know, it has the chance to kind of sort those issues out. I think it does have potential.
Very good. Very good. And Fred, what did you think about Volition?
I definitely enjoyed the concept in the beginning. After I read it the first time, I had a bunch of questions about this book. So I actually went to go to Twitter to tweet Ryan Parrott. And then I happened to see some tweets on his timeline that answered some of those questions I was looking for. Because I know, like, I knew that it was, like, more of a deeper issue. And when I went to his timeline, he had actually sent out three tweets that was telling the backstory of the book, that it was about two robots on the quest to find God, and that Amber's first statement in the beginning of the book was, "I am," which in Hebrew roughly translates Yahweh, which is I am, meaning God. So right there I was like, okay. So I read again the second, you know, through it, went through the book, but then I came across the symbols. And the symbols in the book at the end where the rust kind of hits them, I was like, there's got to be more to this. So I started, like, you know, Googling certain symbols, and it was translating. So the book became a little bit easier to read for me, but I kind of liked it. It's definitely a deep book. You might have to read it a couple times.
Excellent. Well, Fred, also expound a little bit on what you were telling us about Aftershock and how a lot of the comics have these themes in them that are produced by Aftershock.
Yeah, I really get a feeling with Aftershock that they're very faith-based and speak of, like, religious aspects, whether it be good or evil, through their books. It's always something. It's kind of like what draws me to DC, because DC kind of plays the religion card, especially this past week with Batman. You see that. But yeah, that's what I would say about that.
Chris, what did you think of the difference between the robots that are like old and the newer robots? Like, was it distinct enough for you, or did they just kind of seem muddled?
I mean, I felt like the whole book was original with how it approached the robots and the artificial intelligence and the role they play. It was unique. It wasn't the same old artificial intelligence becomes better than human beings, destroy all humans. It went a little bit deeper than that, which I really appreciated, which is why I say the book does have potential. It's a strong idea. It just has to be put together well in the form of a comic book. I felt like the pacing was off. It was jumping around a bit too much for me, and didn't quite connect itself. I know Fred showed us the tweets that, you know, he found, and that helped my experience a little bit because it made me understand a little more. But I just felt like if those tweets, if we could have seen that in the artwork or in the story instead of the exposition, it would have been better. Yes. Like, if I could have read the book and got that myself, it would have been cool.
Yeah. That's why I go back to when I described this book, is I feel like it had a very ambitious idea and plan, and it just fell short of hitting it. It didn't get everything it wanted to do out. Well, if you're going to score it, Chris, what would you give it?
For this week, I'd give it a 2, but I'm definitely going to check out issue number 2 and see if it keeps me, because I'm still interested in the idea of the book.
And Fred, what do you think?
I'll give it a 3.5. It's the first issue, so it kind of gets a pass the first issue. Let's see what it brings the second issue for sure.
Well, I'm going to give it a 3, maybe a little generous. Sometimes I'm too generous, but I go back to I just didn't get all of the ideas answered for me in a proper fashion. And like Chris said, the tweets that Fred showed me made things make more sense. But I don't want to have to read that after I read the comic twice to kind of understand that. I'll give it a 3. It's a solid number. And like you said, it's a first issue. And because everyone else is going back, maybe I'll go back for a second taste. All right. Let's move on to comic book number 3. Number 3 is also a new book. It's a book called Crowded. So Crowded number 1. 10 minutes in the future, the world runs on an economy of job shares and apps, including Reaper, a crowdfunding platform to fund assassinations. Charlie Ellison leads a quiet, normal life until she's suddenly targeted by a $1 million Reaper campaign. Hunted by all of Los Angeles, Charlie hires Vita, the lowest-rated bodyguard on the Defend app. As the campaign picks up speed, they'll have to figure out who wants Charlie dead before the campaign's 30 days or their lives are over. Written by Christopher Sabella, artist Ron Stein, ink and cover artist Ted Brandt, colorist Triona Farrell, letters by Cardinal Ray, variant cover by Rachel Scott. This is published by Image. This is Crowded. Chris, what did you think of Crowded?
Okay, so I'm going to start off by saying this was my favorite book that was assigned to us this week that we voted on. It caught my attention from the very first page. And throughout it, this book actually made me do research too. So it made me research terms like crowdsourcing, pay for service, and sharing economy. And what that really means. I won't get into it here because it's kind of, you know, it's a lot. But it's an interesting take on the future. I've heard of, like, you know, these things of a sharing economy and nobody owns anything. Instead, you just pay to rent for services and things like that. And what would it look like if those things were taken to the extreme? And so the the central plot is interesting and the idea is interesting in the setting. But on top of that, the writing is good. The characters, the dialogue is good. The art is good. The lettering pops. The book overall, I really enjoy the whole time. I really suggest that if you're listening to go out and read Crowded.
Definitely. What about you, Fred?
This book I really enjoyed. To me, it feels like it had a sense of realism. I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of Chris' stuff going on because there was something happening upstairs. But to me, the book feels like a sense of realism. It felt like when you see online with the Kickstarters and stuff with books, that this is kind of the things that's going on in this book. I like the relationship with Charlie and Vita. The voice that Charlie has in this book is kind of reminds me of, do you remember the movie Clueless?
Yes.
Like the movie Clueless, Alicia Silverstone, the character she played, that's who she reminds me of. Like, to me, like, that's how well it's written, that it just brings back memories of that. I enjoy this book. It was a lot of fun. I'm enjoying his writing. The art's beautiful too. It goes well with it. There's a lot to like about this book.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed the art the most. Just there was so much going on in the background. Lots of little gags, little sight gags, like the dog peeing after she had made a panel earlier that dog better not poop in the house. It pees in the house. Little things like that if you watch. The whole crowdsourcing and the sharing of things was really realistic. I mean, we have those things going on where you can rent your car out to somebody for a few hours, or, you know, definitely the Uber style stuff or babysitter, all these crazy things that this woman does to support herself. And eventually, the end, she actually hires somebody to protect her from assassins. And I mean, what a crazy concept. I mean, mm-hmm. We talked about it. You said like a realism. To me, it was kind of like almost turn on its head. Like it took these real concepts and flipped them on their head and said, okay, but this is going to be bizarre world just off a couple degrees. What could happen with these apps if things went awry? Definitely recommend this book. Like everyone said, it's really well written. It's an easy read. I finished it quickly. I was like, wow, it's done. I'm ready for another one. And the hook is there. It set the hook. I don't want to give it away, but it really did set the hook. We've been arguing about theories on Charlie. Is she good? Is she bad? Is she, you know, playing a game on everybody? There's a lot going on in this book, and I think it's going to be a winner. We're going to talk about it like we talk about Weatherman as the comic season goes on.
Yeah, I just want to add that, you know, with the art, that some people may think it was cartoonish, but I enjoyed it. And I like what they did with all the pinks and yellows. It was very bright. So that's another draw to that I do enjoy.
Yeah, I didn't think it was too cartoony, personally. If I were going to put it up next to, like, say, Weatherman, I felt Weatherman probably was more cartoony than Crowded was. Just a general observation if I were to look at the two.
Right. Yeah. I would agree with that. I just seen like some people online that if they were bashing it, that was what they would bash it about.
I don't think they read it then.
It seemed just because of the plot of how adult it was. There were some adult scenes in that book that didn't seem cartoonish to me. You know.
Yeah, there was some violence. There was a little bit of gruesome deaths. There was some drinking. Yeah, I definitely would agree with you. It didn't come across cartoonish to me at all. I mean, there was humor, but not cartoonish, I would say. Like, I didn't feel like I was reading Harley Quinn would be a great example. To me, that's cartoonish. Or Gwenpool or something. That's cartoonish. And I never felt like that. All right. So if you were going to give it a score, Chris, what would you give it?
This is going to be my first 5 on the show. So first episode. First number 5.
Ooh, the first 5. We put it down. The big 5 for Christopher Sabella's Crowded. He's hot right now. What can I say? That guy's can do no wrong. So, Fred, what are you thinking score-wise?
I give it a 4.5.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. I'd give it a 4.5, too. That's where I'm at. It wasn't my favorite book of the week, but it's up there. Definitely up there. And I'm really glad we added this to the list. Because with a one, sometimes I don't know. I'm new to some of these indie comics, and I'm so glad that it was introduced to me. I enjoyed it very much. All right, let's move on to the next book. The next book is Coyotes number 5. Red stumbles onto a group of women, putting the men who attack them on trial. As she watches them forgive their attackers, she is aghast. And then one mentions her sister. Questions will be answered and origins will be revealed in the next chapter of this cult favorite. Written by Sean Lewis, art and everything else beautiful by Caitlin Yurinsky. It is published by Image. This is Coyotes. Fred?
Man, I'm so glad that Coyotes is back. With this book jumping on a new story arc, for a new reader like Chris, this is perfect because some things that we were missing in the first 4 issues is answered in this issue. Like the grandmas in this book, where are they all from, Andrew?
Let's see. There's grandmas from 4 regions of the world. Give me a second. Go ahead and talk, and I'll look up the 4 different grandmas.
Well, in this issue, like, they start off, and the granny is telling Red, like, the story of the reasoning behind them guarding the wolf and protecting the wolf. And then it even gets into the backstory a little bit of why the men are wearing pelts and things to that nature. So those were a couple of things that weren't answered in the first story arc. With the grandmas, I just want to say right now that, man, I would totally drink beers with those grandmas. They have no filters. They don't care. They give no Fs at all.
Yes, those grandmas are great. Here are the grandmas. Okay, we have the ice grandmothers of the north, the water nanas of the west, and the mountain grannies of the east, and last of all, the desert abuelas of the south. Talk about some interesting names for grandmas. I'm going to echo what Fred said before we hit Chris with it being a new book to him. The first 4 issues didn't give us a lot of this backstory that we're getting in this new book after the break. We were left in the dark. You know, it was more of a horror book, like, oh, what is this? What's causing this? You know, supernatural, very From Dusk Till Dawn kind of thing, a border story, except other than vampires. It turns out they're werewolves, kind of. So this was a nice segue back in to the series after it's been off for like 6 months, I think. So yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. Chris?
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Like you guys said, I didn't read the first 4 issues. Based off of issue number 5, I'll probably go back and give it a look because I'm actually very interested in the world. It starts off with some exposition, and like I previously said, I don't really like exposition much, but this book does it really well and does it very creatively, with the granny and, you know, the story time that, you know, that was really an interesting way to do that and to explain to new readers, you know, what's going on in the world. And may I say the art style is really good. I really like looking at that book. Yeah. It's a very, very pretty book. This wasn't the most, like, as far as colors go, colors were good. It wasn't a bright, you know, issue, which is fine for me. You know, colors is more than just brightness and popping and things like that. It was a good book. It set the tone. The art style set the tone, I mean. And I'm interested.
Definitely. Cool. Yeah. The art for me, this is something I'll kind of throw a little background. It feels very Mexico. Mm. And I find it interesting that the artist is not Mexican. But she, to me, has captured, I mean, the features of the grandmothers. They seem like the types of paintings I've seen in Mexico when I've been to Mexico, that style. And it does a good job of capturing that world. And like you said, of a tale. The grandma's telling a tale. It's like folklore. It's like legend, the way they're discussing this history of what's happened and why the coyotes do what they do, and everything. So yeah, I'm a very big fan of this book. I read the first four, even though sometimes it got a little bumpy and would get lost. I'm glad that it seems they've kind of maybe took the break and righted the ship. Fred, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I do. With this book, there's a lot of times that you don't even have to look at the word bubbles, that you can just look at the pictures drawn and get an understanding of it because the art is that good. There's a lot of splash pages that I just want to take and put on my wall down here because, I mean, man, just I buy this book just for the art alone. Yeah. Seriously, it's that good.
Yeah, it's an excellent book. So, Fred, if you were going to score it.
If I was going to score this, I would give it a 4.5 because I do like the combination of folklore, mythology with a hint of sci-fi. So definitely 4.5 for me.
For me, it would be a 3.5. It's a great book. The art, the writing, it's all really good.
Very cool. I would be somewhere in the middle. I'd be about a 4. I liked it. I've told you I've liked the series. I liked the premise. But he still, there were some little things where it didn't quite completely. They haven't quite put it all together for me yet. I'm waiting for that issue. All the pieces are there, but it hasn't quite been put together. Mm-hmm. About that art, like Fred said, you can't go wrong just looking at this book. It's a beautiful looking book. So, yeah, I'm at a 4. That's where I'll be for that one. All right, book number 5. It is The Lost City Explorers, issue number 3. The adventure is on. Hell Coates, her brother, and her millennial teenage friends are running from mercenaries, hiding from monsters and exploring the dangerous world of New York City underground tunnels. But will they find the mysterious supernatural doorway to the lost city of Atlantis? Written by Zach Kaplan, artist Alvarado Zaraseca, colorist D. Cuniff, letters by Troy Petrie, cover artist Rafael de la Torre and Marcelo Manolo. It's published by Aftershock. Lost City Explorers. What'd you think, Chris?
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying adventure in comics is probably my favorite genre. I love a good adventure. And I really want to love this book. There are some really good things about this book. However, this issue didn't quite do it for me. It does have potential, but it's the beginning of this story arc is starting to be very slow. It's already the third issue, and they still haven't made it to Atlantis yet. And I get it, you know, with adventure books, you kind of have to set the stage for why they're going on the adventure, you know, who's the players involved, who are the characters, what role do they play. And for the most part, the writer does a very good job at that. We get a sense of each character and their personalities. It's just the boring part of the adventure. You know, the adventure books you read, the first 3-4 chapters, you just wish you could skip over, but you can't. You gotta get through it. So that's why this one did. Yeah. It's in no fault of its own. I understand that you kinda gotta have this stage before you go straight into the adventure. Like I said, it does a lot of other things well. The characters are good. You get a sense of each of their personalities. It's very dialogue heavy. So if you like books like that, where you want to read and get us and pick apart, you know, the characters, this is a good book for that. It's decent. I just wanted to get to the adventure parts already.
And Fred, what about you?
I'm going to echo as dialogue heavy, but I like it. I think it's fun. Just watching this group of kids interact with each other is fun to me. Gives me a feel of kind of like the Goonies or Stranger Things vibe, you know, when they talk to each other. I really like the art, but I wish that they weren't underground so much so the artist and the colorist could, you know, show us other things that they can do besides drawing inside of sewers.
Yeah.
But they do it well. They do that well. Now, like, the past, 2 issues were super good. This one's a little down a bit, but I still enjoyed it. It was a good read. It's starting to answer some questions, and then the end, you know, gets me excited for 4, which I think we all are.
Definitely. Yeah, I echo the same. Of the 3 issues, this was the weakest. But a good point, like Chris said, is that you have to have that issue that gives you that foundation that's going to be built upon as the story goes along, that necessary chapter that maybe is not the most entertaining. Made sure it laid out the characters. It gave us a real good definition of who the bad guys are. And like you said, but now, you know, we're done. Okay, I'm done with that. Like, I'm willing to get to this point 3, 4, they better be in Atlantis. Because, like you said, Fred, that also opens up the art. I'm hoping Atlantis is a different setting enough that we can see a more colorful, interesting backdrop to this adventure. I like the book. One thing about the dialogue, this is another one of those books that is already being developed into a TV show. So we're finding these comic book writers that are also wannabe screenwriters, or they were screenwriters and they're writing comics. There's this big crossing paths of that now in comics. So maybe some of where he's coming from with his dialogue is he's looking at it as the type of dialogue that he's expecting, witty banter between young actors. Again, like It had, the early parts of It, Stranger Things, all these things. That's very popular right now to have young characters with the banter. So I think that plays a little bit into that, what's going on. But yeah, it's not the strongest issue of a book that I consider very good to this point. But yeah, if this was the first issue, I'd be a little concerned. Chris, would you like to give your score? I'm sorry.
Yeah, if I were to give it a score right now, I'd have to go with a 2.5. I don't want to say the book is bad. It's not. It's just, like I said, it's that part of the book. It's like when you read The Hobbit and, like, Bilbo's getting ready for the adventure, not quite there yet. You know, it's one of those. So I would give it a 2.5.
Excellent. And Fred?
I would give it a 3.5. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's trying to get us to the next issue. I'll definitely give it a 3.5. I look forward to the next issue just because of the teaser at the end.
Same. I'd go with a 3.5. I do enjoy the characters, the dynamic between the brother and the sister. The other characters have been fleshed out. There's something that's going to go on with the hacker kid and the girl that's the sister as well. There's some interesting dynamics that I think will pay off in the end. So, yeah, a 3.5. A solid book with potential that started off strong and maybe took a little, you know, slipped this week is the best way to say it. All right, now on to our last book. The last book of the night is The Magic Order. With each wizard brutally murdered, Madame Albany comes another step closer to seizing the dark power of the Occulum as her own. The next kill on her list, Leonard Moonstone. Is her gruesome assassin powerful enough to destroy the leader of the Magic Order? Written by Mark Millar, artist Oliver Kupel, colorist Dave Stewart, letters Peter Dougherty, variant covers by Tommy Lee Edwards, published by Image and Netflix. This is The Magic Order. Well, this book I was really, really fond of. I've enjoyed this book to this point. I enjoy magic. The premise is interesting to me. I like this family. It's a mixture of, you know, a powerful family, almost like a mafia thing. And there's a rival family that wants to take them out to have the power. And we've had these gruesome assassinations going all the way back to issue 1. And in this issue, someone powerful, as it was mentioned in the solicit, so it's not a spoiler, is Leonard Moonstone, the father of one of the families. The other family is going after her. The book is well written. I believe the book is really good looking. I'm fond of the characters. It's not something I haven't seen before. It has elements of Harry Potter. It has elements of things you would see in The Magicians on Sci-Fi. But I really am fond of this book, and I can't recommend it more. Fred, what do you think?
I had to read this book twice. the first time I didn't necessarily understand it a lot, but then the second time I got to know it a lot better. And I got a vibe from this. Like you said, it's between two families to me. So, okay, I'm going to tell something. I'm not a big fan of magic, but after I thought of the book this way as like two mafia families beefing, then I was like, okay, I get this. This is a great book. The art, beautiful. Loved it. Loved a lot of things. I love the beef going back and forth. It's kind of scary because it seems like if you're on the Moonstone side, how many more things do they have to overcome? Everybody's getting whacked.
Yeah, they need a little bit of good luck or this first arc is not going to be good for them.
Yeah, for sure. They're kind of like the Stark family of magic.
Magic.
This again was my first issue into the series. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to catch up this week on the previous issues. However, I still enjoyed it. I still got the sense of what was going on. I understood that, you know, there was a family and that they were being taken out. As a singular issue, though, it really is well put together. Like I said, even if you're just jumping in, you won't be lost. Also, there was some pretty, like, dark, eye-turning moments. So I believe you said the artist was Oliver Kupel, right? And he's actually one of my favorites. I believe he's a French artist. And my Action Comics 1000 is actually signed by him. It was a Midtown Comics exclusive down here in New York. Oh, yeah, so excellent. I'm a big fan of his art. And he really brings this book to life. There are some moments in here that are like, whoa, what am I looking at? You know, like, it really dark. But he pulls it off, and it catches your eye, and it makes you, you know, want to keep turning the page. So I really enjoyed the book.
Yeah, the book is dark. There's definitely some scenes. I mean, the cover this week, it wouldn't come up on my Twitter after I posted it. It was considered something possibly too sensitive for people to see because it had all those people kind of having the middle of a group session. And there's also some really bloody deaths. I mean, these are violent deaths. And the use of the magic is done in a very brutal way, which makes the magic kind of scary. And the villain itself, he's terrifying. He, you know, and it looks like he's unbeatable at this point, which makes for a very interesting story of how do they overcome. I really enjoyed this book. It's another one that's being put together to be a series. That's why it's Image and Netflix, because Mark Millar has a deal with Netflix and he's developing these books. That's why there's going to be a break after six books, because supposedly then the series is going to eventually, I think, be kicked off somewhere after that. Fred, did you have any you want to add to that?
Yeah, other than like it being visually thrilling, I just want to shout out, is it Dave Stewart, the colorist? Because I thought the colors was really done well in this book, especially like in the scenes where some people may have had misfortunes in this book. I thought that was done well. Mm-hmm.
Dave Stewart is also the colorist on Weatherman, so we have a double dip of Dave Stewart this week.
Nice.
So, very interesting. Okay, so if you were going to score this, Fred, what would you give it?
I would give it, even though I'm not a fan of magic, I'll still give it a 4.25 because it's really done well.
Okay. And Chris?
I'd give it a solid 4.0. It was a great book. If you're looking to get into an indie comic, this might be the right one for you because it's really good. It's got different elements. It really comes together. I'd give it a 4.
Nice. I'll give it about a 4.3. I think it is a good book to look into. This book is going to really get some buzz if the show is real and the show does well. There'll be some people going backwards, and the second arc will definitely probably pop because people want to know more what's going on. As we said, this is Mark Millar, who has a deal with Netflix. And this week, Mark Millar is our creator spotlight. We like to spotlight a creator that is doing creator-owned comics, excuse me, at a high level to introduce you to some new comics. And we want to tie in people that you may know from movies, television shows, or comics you've probably read from Marvel and DC. And we chose Millar because his resume is extensive. So you're going to hear a lot of books, I think, if you're a comic book reader, and a lot of movies that you, if you're a movie fan, that you've probably heard of. And it's a good way to kind of see what the whole creator-owned thing is. It's about owning your own creations and being able to take them out and do things with them and make the money off it. So, Fred, would you like to start on Mark Millar?
Well, let's see. I have Mark Millar was born on December 24th, 1969. He's best known for The Authority, The Ultimate, Marvel Knights Spider-Man, Ultimate Fantastic Four, Civil War, Kingsman, The Secret Service, Wanted, is it Chronauts?
Chrononauts, I believe.
Okay. And then I have Kick-Ass. Mm. That's what I have right now.
Excellent. And Chris?
So I remember when I first started getting into comic books, like regularly, maybe 9, 10 years old. This is around the time that Civil War is starting. So this is like 2006, 2005, and the Ultimate line and things like that. So I'm kind of familiar with his work on that. And I remember reading some of that and just thinking, well, this is really good. This is crazy. You know, superheroes fighting each other. Things like that was pretty cool. So that's kind of my introduction to him. And then also it seems like a lot of his stuff has been turned into movies. So like there's Wanted, like you said. There's Kingsman, The Secret Service, which is a really good movie. Civil War, which, you know, they based, Civil War off of. What else they got that he did? Kick-Ass, which is a movie. So he seems to, and we just said Magic Order is turning into a show. So he seems to be working really hard on that type of stuff. So his stuff has a very cinematic element.
Definitely. Most definitely. I'm a huge fan of him. He's just done so much. And to me, he's the ultimate creator-owned guy. I don't know if you happened to mention when you were doing it, Fred, that he's Scottish, and his influences are very UK. He lists Alan Moore, Grant Morrison, Peter Milligan, Garth Ennis, and Warren Ellis, a murderer's row of UK comic book writers. Famously, he talks about some advice that he got from Morrison. He was interviewing Morrison for a magazine, a comic book review, and he said, was telling Morrison that he wanted to do comics. At the time, he was an artist and a writer. And Morrison says, pick one and concentrate on it. He said it was the best advice he ever got, and he chose writing. And, you know, the rest is history. He's been writing all this time. He started with DC first. Morrison brought him in, so he was under Morrison, and he co-wrote Swamp Thing. Some things he also worked on DC with was Aztec, JLA and The Flash with Morrison, and then famously Superman the Red Sun. He replaced Ellis on The Authority, a Wildstorm comic, which is an imprint of DC. And you guys have gone over Marvel pretty well. Some other things you didn't mention is no one mentioned Old Man Logan, which elements of the Logan movie come from Old Man Logan. He also did Ultimate Fantastic Four, which the Fantastic Four movie that kind of flopped, some of the stuff that was going on in there, they were taking from Ultimate Fantastic Four. There was a lot of ideas that were coming out of that comic book as well. So he's really shaped Marvel on the big screen. And he's executive produced all his films. So he executive produced the Kick-Ass films, the Wanted film, Secret Service, which he did not write alone. He wrote Secret Service with Matthew Vaughn, the director of Kingsman and the Secret Service. They wrote that together, the comic, and then turned it in also into a movie. So it was kind of one of those projects, kind of like what he's doing with The Magic Order, where he's making a comic, but he's also making it a movie at the same time. He's just done so much. You know, he left Marvel, went to Image. We named most of his comics. Some things I don't think you mentioned, Superior or Huck. Those are some good ones he's done. And we'll see, because so does Fox, since they're sold to Disney, now does Disney have the Kingsman? Does Disney have Kick-Ass? Or do the rights revert back to Millar? And does Netflix have those? Because he signed an exclusive deal with Netflix. So it's going to be interesting to see where his stuff ends up. But he's not going anywhere. And one last thing this week, he introduced a new comic called Prodigy. And Prodigy is also going to be made into a TV show for Netflix. It's going to be the second book that's going to be an Image/Netflix book. So he's done a lot.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned the Fantastic Four. I remember the Ultimate Fantastic Four just having some really just out there plot lines. Like, it was just like, whoa. You know, it takes Fantastic Four and kind of flipped it on its head. Yeah. So that was really cool. And all of those movies that you mentioned are all good. So like I said, he just seems to have a knack for creating books that have cinematic elements. You know, there are some books out there or some comics that don't translate well to the big screen or have to be modified, mm-hmm. you know, heavily before it can go. But his writing just seems to just have that already instilled. So, yeah, I look forward to his new projects.
Yeah, he's very polarizing, too. You'll talk to a lot of people that don't like his Marvel stuff. They think his ultimate stuff is whack because he does make some strange choices. And there's people that just absolutely hate the Civil War comic series. And yeah, so he's polarizing. You could probably ask 10 people and get a different answer from all 10 on how they fall on him. But you can't deny he's a successful comic book creator. Fred, do you have anything to add to this?
Did you happen to hit his Eisner Awards? I didn't.
No, I did not. Okay. I did not hit his Eisner Awards. Go ahead.
2000, he won an Eisner Award for the younger audience for Superman Adventures. In 2000, he also won an Eisner Award for the writer of Superman. And then in 2001, he won the Eisner for The Authority and Ultimate X-Men.
Wow.
And I believe that's it, or that's all I found.
Okay. Well, that's more than I knew on his awards. Yeah, he's definitely the real deal, and he works with some great artists. And yeah, and he loves soccer, which makes me a big fan of his as well. But yeah, okay. So that was our artist spotlight for the week. And now we're going to move on to our last segment of the show. This is where we kind of talk about what we read this week, whatever it may be, things that we want to share with you, whether it be new books that we got for New Comic Book Day that maybe did not make our top six that we spotlighted. Maybe we're going after some backlog, catching up on something, or just decided we want to reread an old comic, or, you know, whatever we're reading this week. So we're going to share some things that we enjoyed this week, and share our love of comics. So, Fred, I'll let you go first. What did you see this week that you really enjoyed?
Well, I really liked Skyward number 5. Was it 5 this week?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Skyward 5 by Image, Joe Henderson, Lee Garbett. There's some big moments in that book. It was done well. I know a lot of podcasts are reviewing that book, so we kind of left it alone, kept it to ourselves. I also read like Gideon Falls by Jeff Lemire and is it Andrea Sorrentino? That was a good book too. I think it was the final book of the arc for that one as well. Very good book. And then one more really good book was Ice Cream Man number 6 by Image with W. Maxwell Prince is the writer and the artist is Martin Morazzo. Okay, there's not much dialogue in this book, and Martin Morazzo just took it over and tells the story just with his art, and it's absolutely beautiful. I'm serious. There might be like 5 word bubbles the whole book, but it's done so well. It's a good book. So if you haven't read Ice Cream Man, you need to jump on because that's one of the best books by Image now. What did you read, Chris?
Okay, so I've read Extermination about three times, just trying to soak in everything of that book. I really like that. I'm reading all things X-Men, you know, just like last week. I'm still just trying to hone my X-Men knowledge. Outside of that, though, I've been reading DC kind of has these, I think DC Superhero Girls is, I think, what it's called. That I've been reading with my daughter. She's starting to be into superheroes, so that's really fun. They have the cartoons on Netflix and stuff, and I go down and get her the books too, and she's all like Superhero and Supergirl and Raven, and she's naming them. So I'm excited.
Wow, you have a little DC fan. Who's her favorite?
Her favorite's Raven. She thinks Raven looks absolutely cool. With the hood and the cloak and the purple. So her favorite's Raven right now.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think she also likes Batgirl. She kind of likes all of them.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I've been having fun doing that, reading those books with her.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. Yeah, definitely. Some books I really like. Skyward was my favorite book of the week. We didn't review it. I wish we might be. Did, but we didn't. It was a beautiful ending of the arc. Tears to the eyes as there was a big emotional moment. The trade paperback will be out on September 13th for anyone who wants to jump on this book before the next arc gets going full throttle. I guess maybe there'll be one comic out before then. But another book that is being developed for a TV show because the author is a screenwriter on the Lucifer TV show. So again, we have this crossover between TV and comics, but this book, it's beautiful, man. Is that book? It just, the way that it's drawn just blows me away every week. And the writing has been incredible. And I just, from issue to issue, I'm in love. Another book high on my list was Batman, Tom King, Batman. You know what? If this is the kind of stuff we're going to get because she denied him at the altar, then it was worth it. It was so worth it because he's broken and he's a very interesting broken Batman right now and I'm loving it. It was a deep book. I set it down. I read it this morning. I put it off because I didn't want to put it in with all my other books that I was bunching together and I just blew my mind. And like you, Chris, Extermination, perfect. It over-delivered for me. I didn't know what to expect. I told you, you asked me if I was hype about it. I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Boom. It over-delivered, and I cannot wait for number two. I just can't. Reeson's going to do some things. He's going to make some people cry. He's going to make some people upset, but it needs to be done. It's time to clean house. And last of all – oh, go ahead. Yeah. And he's just getting started, man. It's just starting to roll. And then last but not least, I'm going to talk about Pearl. I thought it was okay, but the reason I'm bringing it up is it's first of Michael Bendis's books on his own creator-owned label, Jinx World. The thing is, I'm having a hard time lumping it in with our other creator-owned books because it's technically creator-owned. But at the back of this book, there was a four-page Batman story. Okay, what other creator-owned book gets to have a Batman story in it to pump it up, you know, an original Batman story? So it's kind of like, oh, you're cheating, man. So I don't know, but it was a pretty-looking book, but the story was So those are some of my things. Fred, I'm sure you've got more. You've read a lot of things, man.
I do. Another good book was Baby Teeth 12. Aftershock, Donny Cates, and Gary Brown. Man, there's some big things that came out of that book, and the next issue is going to get even bigger. It's lucky number 13. And if you know anything about this book, 13's a good sign. I read the Sandman universe finally. I finally caught up on that by Vertigo. I enjoyed it. It was my introduction into the book, into the universe, and as a total, actually. Then I read a book called The Long Con by Oni Press. The writer is Dylan McManus and Ben Coleman, the artist. It was interesting. It was a little cartoonish. The art was so-so, but I like the concept. It's definitely an interesting read. I have two more books. One I read four issues was called The Wicked and Righteous by Alterna. The writer is Terry Mayo. Excuse me. And the artist is Lucas Romero. I really enjoy this. Like, the first four issues, it's good storytelling, good art. It's great price. I'm a big fan of Alterna. I try to pick up anything my LCS has of Alterna. I've yet to be let down by them. And then my final book is from Coffin Comics. It's called I'm going to mess this up, Andrew. Morta?
Muerta.
Is that right? Muerta. At Last Rites. It's from Coffin Comics. The writer was Mike McLean, and the artist is Joel Gomez. This book is awesome. It's a kind of little Harley Quinn-esque in a way, but with a Spanish vibe, a Mexican vibe, and she's a vigilante. It's a really cool book. The art's really cool. I say, like, go out and support, like, artists and companies like this, because it's super well done. There's a lot of talent out there, and this is definitely a book that I ordered a few more books from and a t-shirt, because I'm gonna rep that stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm a huge La Muerta fan. You can go back to some of my earliest podcasts where we were talking about Day of the Dead, and I've been pushing this. The comics don't come out very quickly. They mostly do Kickstarters to do their comics, so there's a big gap in between them. And number five will be dropping at the end of the month. I already have it because I did the Kickstarter, but it's going to drop in the shops, I think, at the end of the month. And it is. It's got that Robert Rodriguez. Like, if he had done a comic about a female vigilante who comes back from the dead, Day of the Dead style, this is it. You know, it has that kind of craziness of his movies, like From Dusk Till Dawn and from Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Desperado, those kind of feels of film. I've read Wicked and Righteous. It was one of the books that got me into Alterna. But I do need to get onto Baby Teeth and Milkman. So definitely that's something I need to add to my reading list. Chris, any other books or anything you questions?
Not really. I've just been trying to bring the comic book to my family. You know, they've noticed me doing the podcast and the Twitter thing, so they're really interested. My wife and my daughter watched Infinity War with my wife for the first time. I've seen it already. She hadn't. She has some interesting takes. she's on the Thanos was right team. We had to have a conversation about that. Also, you know, at the end with the whole Captain Marvel thing, and she's like, "Oh, that's Shazam guy?" And I'm like, "No." I'm like, "Please don't say that on Twitter. Please don't say that." You make a lot of people very upset. Cool. It's still, you know, fresh wounds for some people. Yeah, so I've just been doing that. Luckily, it's become increasingly easy to share, you know, comic books and superheroes with family, because it's become more accessible, even some of the books. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to all the TV shows that we talked about and movies and yeah.
And I don't know if you're aware that DC is putting out an imprint. I don't know which is which. Okay, there's Zoom and there's Ink. I don't know which is the one for the little kids, but there's Zoom, Ink, and Black, I think, is the other one. Black is like adult.
Yeah.
But Zoom or Ink, it's young adult and it's kids. So I don't know which is which. You know, one is more teenagers and one is little kids, and they're going to be graphic novels. They're not going to be comics. They're going to go straight. And they've hired some of the best young adult authors, not comic book writers, authors. And they've teamed them with some of the better artists, and there's going to be some books coming out. So that's something you might want to watch for your daughter that she might like. There's going to be a Harley book. There's supposed to be a Mara book. I think Batgirl maybe is one. Again, I don't know which one are the teens and which one are the little kids. So you're going to have to look a little closer. But there's going to be a lot of the younger characters, and they're going to make them young, like superhero girls. And that might be something she might dig to look into.
I feel DC is very good with that. I just I introduced a book to my daughter the other day. I think it came out 2010, 2011, called Billy Batson and Shazam. And it's like a very childlike looking art style and things like that. So I'm going to look into that because DC is very good for that.
Yeah, they haven't quite come out yet, but you'll hear about them if you look up. It's DC Inc. and DC Zoom. And I wish I could remember which was which. Mm. But yeah. And Fred, any others to add to the mix?
I need to catch up with a bunch of books, and I have a bunch more arriving tomorrow, including my Coffin Comics books. So,
very cool. Yeah, I'm doing some binges for our show. Something I binged this last week is I binged all of Royal City to be up to date for the last issue that's coming out. So that's some older stuff I've read. I didn't read all of my new comic books yet this week. I haven't finished my DC. I finished my Marvel. And I didn't read Gideon Falls, as we were talking about. So I don't know how good Gideon Falls is this week yet. But yeah, it's a lot of fun reading all these different books. There's a lot of interesting things going on. The family thing, Chris, I had something funny. I shared it with Fred. Is my daughter, weirdly, on Thursday sent me a picture and a text message from work. She's 23, my oldest, and she goes, got to work early, a little light reading before work. And on her test table, she had Farmhand and Death and Glory.
Oh.
And she's, you know, she's kind of a nerd a little bit. She always read a lot of manga growing up, but she never really got into the comics. It's her new boyfriend. And I was like, where the hell did you get those books? I go, those are like... Those aren't rookie books, kid. Where'd you get? And she goes, oh, these are awesome. She goes, she's going to cosplay Glory at our comic con.
Oh, wow.
She likes to cosplay. So I was like, proud, Papa. Like, yeah. One of them caught the nerd bug. So I was really happy. It was pretty cool. It's always fun to share with the kids.
Yeah, we raved about Death of Glory for sure. We love that book here, Sleep Level Floppies.
Yeah. You know what? I recommended it to before our show to Brian Edward Hill. He was asking for books that either manga or comics that had good car chase scenes. And I said, I know it's new, but you should probably check out Bengal's work on the fourth issue of Death and Glory. So he liked it. He didn't comment back, but he liked it. And I said, you should check that one out. So if you're really looking for some cool car chase scenes, that has them. So very cool. Well, guys, is there anything else to add to the show, or are we kind of done for the night, wrapping it up?
I think it's about a wrap.
It's about a wrap. Okay. Well, let's do the magic and talk about next week's show, possibly. Fred, can you give a little teaser of what we might be listening or reviewing next week?
Well, next week is really heavy with Jeff Lemire books, so I'm sure we're going to do a couple of those, and maybe another Chris Sabella book, seeing we did him this week. Shanghai Red's out next week. I'm trying to think.
Are there any number ones? We like doing number ones so that we can get people onto a new series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was that one book from Dark Horse called? Is it called Beast of Burden?
I was thinking of another one that you forgot and you're going to kick yourself.
Oh, I know what you mean right now. Cold Spots by Colin Bunn.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one. I should. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know how that one slipped my mind.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, very cool. Well, I guess that's it for this week, folks. My name is Andrew, and you can find me on Twitter at Real Comics. R-E-E-L-C-O-M-I-C-S. So you can talk comics, comment about the show, leave any suggestions you like. Also, our show will be dropping on Libsyn and available on the Nerds of Nation podcast page sometime at the end of this weekend. And Chris, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at panels_hoodies. That's my Twitter page. Also, you'll see my blog there. Come follow, please. If you enjoy the show, comment, let me know what you think. I'm always on Twitter, so we could talk. That's where you could find me.
Excellent. Hopefully we'll have our iTunes page by the end of the week. We'll be submitted and we'll be on iTunes and on Stitcher and other places you can find podcasts. But where can they find you, Fred?
Well, you can find me at Twitter as Fred Reads Comics, at Comics Fred is my handle. I also want to say go to the Nation Nerds podcast page. They just opened up a Patreon page. Check out some reviews from the Comic Book Corps website. You know, Mike Jones, Matt Granberry, Jimmy Felinos, Keith OneShot, Pierre and Arnett, a couple of guys. Go check out their reviews. They do some good work over there. Maybe give a few bucks if you can. And just listen to the Nation Nerds, too, because they've helped us out a lot to get this thing rolling. I think that's all I have right there.
Yeah, most definitely. I was going to say, yes, the Nation of Nerds, please follow them. Please support them. They helped make this possible. We are proud members, as I said at the top of the podcast. Happy to be part of their team. Also, we have our own Twitter page. I almost forgot that. It's at StreetLVLFloppy. So it's Street Level Floppy, but not the word level because all the characters don't fit. But that is it for this week, guys. Can't wait till next week to talk more comics. And good night, everybody.
Yes, and just like the streets we call our home, show some love for the creator-owned. We out.
Peace.